Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. Thanks for giving and for sharing with a friend.
Do we live together?
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, the other Dr. Mental, my husband, Norm. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and as always, we're so glad you've joined us.
I'm just being here charming. I'm trying to charm. I'm trying to be somebody I'm not. Am I charming?
Well, I think you are when you're naturally acting that way. But when you're trying to put it on, not so much,
okay,
right?
Okay. Well, that's what we want to talk about today. You know, those people who can walk into a room full of strangers, and when they leave, they've got five new friends and a dinner date and a promise to get together.
Right, right. I know. Right. We know some people like that.
There are a few.
There's a few. And it's like some people just have to work really hard to get those same results.
Right.
And for others, it's just like effortless. I mean, can we think of anybody well-known that we would consider charming?
Is James Bond charming?
I would put him in the charm category.
Yeah, which James Bond?
Oh, well, I liked several of them. So I don't think I would pick. I think the character itself is rather charming.
Okay, okay.
I was thinking, would you consider Lady Diana?
Oh,
she kind of charmed people with all her kind of goodness when she went around and all the service things that she did.
She did. She had a certain aura about her.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're going to define charming yet, but I'm going to guess it makes me want to be with them or makes me think they can be a friend of mine. And as much as she became royalty, she felt very approachable.
Yeah. I think those are the people that we call charming.
Cool.
Oprah,
Katie said.
Katie.
Oh, yeah, she is very charming. She would be a good example of that.
Perfect example.
Yeah, okay. A lot of people like her, want to be around her.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's great. That's a good one, Katie.
All right, so the question I have for you is, are you born charming? Do you develop charm? Is it a characteristic you can learn and practice? Help us.
Well, there is a science
of
charming.
Goodness. Of course.
An actual science devoted to this, and they say it is a learnable skill.
Okay.
So people who are interesting and fun to be with do certain things, Norm, that adds to their charm. So if you pay attention to the actions of charmers, and we're going to talk about what some of those actions are, you might notice a few things.
Okay, good. Let's look at the science of charm today and see if it's really a science.
Is this something people study in school? I've never had a course on the science of charm.
I've never heard anybody who has a PhD in charm, but you never know.
Probably not a collegiate study.
But the question also has to be asked is, in terms of our mental health and relationship, how does charm play into that?
Well, that's good because it can either have a very positive effect or a negative effect. And on the negative side, we're really looking at sort of a manipulative form of charming where people are using a lot of flattery. They turn on the charm because they want something from you. So we're not talking about that kind.
Right. That reminds me of what the Bible says about flattering lips that are used to deceive. But you're right. That's not the kind we're going for. We're going to talk about the characteristics of authentically charming people and what makes them likable. So let's do that. Let's focus on the positive.
And, you know, being likable is a really good trait. Mm-hmm. It allows you to speak into people's lives and to get to know them. When you're likable, you can build relationships, and some of these skills will come into that whole process. If they're used sincerely, they can really help your business, they can help your career, and they can even help your social life.
Well, that makes a total bunch of sense to me. So, but what does it mean? What does it mean to be charming?
Well, it really just kind of boils down to being likable, being polite, being friendly. People are delighted to interact with you.
I love that word.
Yeah. Have you ever come from a meeting and you think, wow, that person was so fun and interesting to talk to? I think that's a good definition of charm.
Right, right.
And that charm can be spontaneous. You know, sometimes we see charm in a small child that does something that's really cute and it just draws us and attracts us to the child. And even, you know, here we go with pets again, but you know, a lot of people think their dogs can be charming.
Well, we always did. Of course, we're dog people.
I don't know about cats being charming.
Let's not get in trouble with listeners.
All the cat people that are listening.
Who are cat people.
But we're talking, meowing.
Yeah, we're talking about people with charisma, right? Is that different than charm?
It's really similar. I mean, most of us know charisma when we see it, even if it's sometimes hard to say why that is in a person. Charisma is that ability to positively influence others by connecting with them in emotional ways, physical ways, intellectual ways. So it's very similar. I think people with charisma have this magnetism, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're usually very self-confident. They're optimistic. They tend to view problems as solvable. They focus on results rather than failures. They encourage people to step forward, and they take fear and they convert it to challenge. You know, I'm thinking about all of that, and I think that's one of the reasons when Barack Obama came on the scene at first, he was seen, because remember, his whole thing was hope.
Right.
And that optimism and that charm that he had mm-hmm. was very engaging for people. And he represents a lot of those qualities.
Those are good qualities. And charm has its benefits, especially in the business world, the professional world. Mm-hmm. We're more likely to build professional relationships and do business with people we find charming, people that we like. I think in there is also a measure of trust. You know, I like that person. I want to be around mm-hmm. them, and I trust what they're saying to me.
Yeah, that's really true. Now, the first thing people judge you on when you meet them, though, is the way that you look.
Sadly, it's true, right?
Yeah. So this psychology professor at Princeton found out that, and listen to this, this is amazing to me, that once you see someone's face, do you know how long it takes to make a judgment as to whether you like them, trust them, or they're competent?
A couple seconds.
Actually, a tenth of a second is what he says.
Wow.
A tenth of a second. Yeah, we're all shaking our heads in disbelief here.
Wow, that's incredible. That's faster than I would have thought.
Yeah.
And way faster than Katie was thinking. And here's a scary one, too. There's a study that says facial appearance can be used to predict the outcome of elections in the U.S. Senate.
Well, and there's a lot of
other... I don't
other...
even know who my senator is.
Yeah, yes, you do. Yes, you do. The results from a lot of studies about those facial characteristics are used to predict elections.
Mm-hmm.
So they looked at this in Bulgaria, in France, Mexico, and Brazil, and voters are just heavily influenced by a candidate's appearance and personality traits. So that's something that politicians think about. Wow. When, especially when they're picking their candidates.
Wow. No wonder. Oh, sorry. It's also unfair if you ask me because we can't control the facial features of our face.
That's true. But here's the issue. The brain has specialized regions that process the features of a face. Hmm. And because of that, you want to hear some good news?
Please.
You can alter your facial expressions.
Cosmetically.
No, just you can alter your expressions.
Okay.
And your smile. And those two things, if you change your expressions and you smile more often, then that makes a difference. And here's what the research says. As a face becomes happier, that's usually related to smiling, it also becomes more trustworthy. So smile away and people will perceive you as more trustworthy, warmer, and more sociable.
Hmm. Well, okay. I remember my mom used to say, you never get a second chance to make a good first impression. What if we don't make a good first impression? Are we doomed? Can we smile our way out of it?
Yes, actually, you can. You can still win people over and get them to forget that first impression.
Okay, how does that happen?
Well, so the moment you receive good information about the person, so if somebody sort of prompts you and says, you know, that's like the best person ever. I was watching this TV drama the other night, and this doctor was trying to convince this person to give their loved one's organs over for donation.
Mm.
And all she kept doing was telling the person how wonderful the person receiving the donation was. And she was prompting that with all these wonderful characteristics. So that's a way that you can actually change that perception.
Wow. So I have a bad first impression. I made a bad first impression, but if you say nice things about me, then people can change their mind.
And then you can quickly change that by smiling, being polite, kind. And, you know, there was an article in Inc. magazine. I know you and I both look at that periodically. That says charming people are often willing to show a little vulnerability as well. So being vulnerable helps you connect with others, too. They can relate a little bit better to you.
And I think a lot of charming people also give genuine compliments.
Yes. They compliment others. They verbalize that they're impressed by others. They actually find the positive in other people, and then they point them out.
Which, as we noted, is the polar opposite difference of flattering to manipulate.
Yeah. Instead of bragging about your accomplishment, charmers ask others, oh, how did you do that? Tell me more. They're not afraid to say that they don't know everything either. And they genuinely seem glad to meet you, and they make eye contact in the process.
I like that. I've noticed that when people are genuinely interested in what I'm saying, I think they're more likable.
Yeah.
But that's probably part of their charm.
It is, because they ask open-ended questions. Mm-hmm. They sincerely want to know what you think. And surprisingly, because of that process, they get you to open up. So you feel like the most interesting person in the world.
Oh, that reminds me. Do you remember having a conversation with Oz Guinness, one of our favorite authors, years ago? He was telling us how he had met former President Bill Clinton and said that man had an ability, when you were with him, to make you feel like the most important person in the room. He gave you direct eye contact. That's charm.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously he used that charm, sometimes for good and not so good, depending on, you know, part of the story you tell. Right. But, you know, there's also another part of this. When you're congratulating somebody, if you shake their hand or you pat them gently on the shoulder, upper arm, that type of appropriate touch can also reinforce the sincerity of your words.
That makes sense. So what I'm taking away from our conversation so far is that these charm skills seem to be just good interpersonal skills and characteristics of emotionally intelligent people. Are there other ways a person can learn to be more charming?
All right. Psychologist and retired FBI agent.
What?
Ready?
Okay.
Jack Schaefer wrote a book called The Like Switch.
Okay.
Okay? Not The Light Switch, The Like Switch. In his book, he uses Johnny Carson, who was one of the hosts of The Tonight Show. And he used him as an example of someone who was really an introvert, but he learned to turn on the charm for the camera.
You would never have known that. You're right. When the camera came on, he was smiling and laughing and making jokes, but that wasn't his natural state. Interesting. So give us a few more ideas from Schaefer's book to increase our own charm.
We're taking this from an FBI agent. I just want to remind us that this is who he was. He says you flash your eyebrows. That's a nonverbal sign that you're not a threat. A quick up and down movement of the eyebrow that lasts about a sixth of a second.
You see me flashing my eyebrows?
Yes.
That's a sign that we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more on the science of charm on the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Stay with us.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder, what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. And available online where books are sold.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Our topic today is, are you ready for this? The science of charm.
Love it.
Yeah, we have a lot more to talk about. But before we do, I want to remind you, please go check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, drlindamental.com. There you'll find her blogs, you can learn about her books, you can connect with her on social media. And of course, we always want you to listen to our podcast anytime on your favorite platform, or you can go to myfaithradio.com and listen to it there. So Linda, talk more about the charming power of using someone's name.
Boy, that's big. Just remembering names and small details about a person is part of the charm, and that has a big factor when you're meeting people. A name seems like a small thing, doesn't it? But it says, oh, you matter. Mm-hmm. And that makes us feel better about the person who remembers us.
So much more. You feel validated. You feel like I'm here and you know me.
Yeah, especially when they remember a detail about you. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're the cello player,
right.
Or you're like, wow.
Right, yeah. Right, right. But charming people aren't not name droppers. Now, that's different, right? Name droppers. Mm-hmm. They may know important people, but they don't have to go around and saying they know them all the time. In fact, for me, it's usually just the opposite. I find name droppers to be insecure, and sometimes they're annoying. But I find it interesting that Scripture tells us that God calls us by name. So that's not name dropping. That's good.
No, he uses our name. Yeah. And boy, he knows every detail of our life, doesn't he? And it tells us that we matter to him because he knows our name. And there's that scripture, Norm. I don't know how that's going to work out. But it talks about that one day God will give us a new name.
A new name in heaven that will only be known to us and him.
Yeah. So this is very personal with a name. So there's a lot in a name. What's in a name?
Right.
To quote Shakespeare, right?
Right.
Well, another element of charm is humor. So making people laugh and helps them, you know, be more relaxed and not have so much stress. Humor is a big connecting point, I think, with people.
Right. But it's that good humor, not the sarcastic kind of degrading humor that's often seen in the media where people are putting people down. Good humor just makes you feel better, makes you feel good. How about some more tips?
Well, making empathetic statements or reflecting part of what the person is telling you, you know, using reflection statements like, tells the person, I just heard what you said. I'm tracking with you. I'm with you. That shows genuine interest and care.
Mm-hmm. Another one I think is complimenting people. We mentioned that a little bit before, and I want to make sure we know that's not flattering. Here's that scripture I talked about earlier in the program. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts.
Yikes.
He doesn't like that stuff.
No, it has to do with smooth talking and manipulation. And like we said, that's really different from people who are genuinely interested in you.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously see a lot of that flattering lips, I think, in today's culture, don't you think?
We sure do. What about finding common ground with another person? I'm convinced that we're losing this ability in our country because we're getting more and more polarized because no one agrees with each other.
Well, that is one of the characteristics of charmers. They are able to find common ground. And that's how you connect with people who don't always agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
So when disagreements come up, they listen and then they try to find something in that conversation that they can connect with. And I wish we could get back to that. Nope. I wish we could start to do that more and more and say, here's what we at least can agree on and continue to develop relationships with people who aren't the same as we are.
Right. I've also noticed that charming people never seem to be at a lack for things to talk about. They always have something to say. Their conversation just kind of flows out of them. How do you do that?
I mean, it's just, again, these are kind of good interpersonal skills that we're talking about, but keeping up with current events, maybe industry news. So if you want to be somewhat charming in your business, you know, not be a know-it-all, but, you know, have some conversations about trends, what's going on. Again, things that people have in common, bring those up. Or as you listen, you may find something out that will connect you in the moment. So I do this with med students all the time. All of a sudden, somebody will tell me that, oh, they're from Michigan. And so I put up my hand.
Right.
You can't see it now, but your hand, you know, with the thumb, that's the state of Michigan.
Yeah, the map of
Michigan, and as soon as I do that, people are like, yes,
they
know.
And they point to where their town is, right?
Yeah, you can use one hand with the state of Michigan, then you can take your other hand and put it horizontally, and that's the Upper Peninsula. So Michiganders know all those secrets, but it's a connecting point that really helps people.
Okay, I'm fascinated. What is the Hansel and Gretel technique?
Well, we all know the story of Hansel and Gretel, right? They dropped crumbs along their journey so they could find their way home. So, like dropping crumbs, you release little bits of information at a time to the person that you want to charm.
Hmm.
This builds interest rather than overwhelming people with too much too fast. So you reveal a little bit about yourself and then a little bit more. And hopefully that makes the person curious and interested, and you have a conversation.
So getting people to talk about themselves and then revealing bits and pieces of yourself doesn't overwhelm, is what you're saying.
Right.
Right? Okay. Well, this seems like a good way to witness to people, too. First, we build a relationship with them, and then as we have more permission to talk about things that are more meaningful in their life, we find we have commonalities. We might be able to introduce the gospel and how that works in our own life. That might work.
Yeah. So again, it's not a strategy to manipulate. It's just how we connect with people. And the quicker you get people to answer personal questions about themselves, the faster a relationship begins to advance.
Okay, let's go back to your FBI agent.
Not my personal FBI agent, but he did write a book.
I think he said something about body language and how to mirror that.
Yeah, and I think I do this without thinking. I think a lot of us do. So if you're talking with somebody and they're crossing their arms, you might find that you're mirroring that and you're doing it too. Or if you change position and the other person does the same thing, that's a good sign because it means you're connecting, the person's engaged. You know, if you're in sales, this is something you really want to look for, that when you're making a pitch, is the person tracking with you?
Wow. You know, I think I do that too. I remember when someone often, well, I'm with somebody and they'll take a drink of their coffee cup.
Yeah.
Something makes me take a drink of my coffee cup.
Yeah.
So that's this connection.
And you're probably leaning in and they're leaning in. And so I don't think it's something that we think about, but it is a process that says, I'm connecting with you. I'm attuned. There's this word attuned, which means that you're connecting with somebody on the relationship and emotional level, mm-hmm. that you're hearing their emotions, you're tracking with them, you're responding to them. And that's a really important area for parents and children when we're talking about, you know, not necessarily charm, but just being attuned to people. So again, I think we can go back to some of these skills that we're talking about in the science of charm, mm-hmm. and we can see that these are really good ways to be emotionally intelligent,
right,
in terms of that.
Well, in the communication world, there is a science of studying nonverbal communication.
Right.
And really, that's what we're talking about, the right. nonverbal, the nodding, the smiling, the eyebrows,
yeah.
the eyes, the crossing
Patty.
Of the hands, the touching.
Yeah.
Those are all important communication devices that humans have used for thousands and thousands of years to communicate, sometimes even when they can't talk. I remember the guest we had on one of the programs I produced who had ALS, and he was in the final stages of ALS, and all he could do to communicate was to bat his eyes.
Yeah.
And he had on one side his nurse and on the other his wife. And when the host would ask questions, he would respond and they would translate.
I know, it was amazing. And his attitude was so positive too.
Oh my goodness.
So he was somebody that really had charm.
Totally.
Because he was so positive and optimistic and so grateful. And here he was. He was, you know, not able to move at all except
right.
for his eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
So what if we do all of these things that we've been talking about today, but we still haven't developed a way to connect with other people?
Well, there's still hope. So spending time with someone can make you like them. Have you found that out, that the more and more you spend time with somebody, you might think at first, I'm not sure, I don't really
mm-hmm,
like them.
Mm-hmm.
But then the more and more you get into it with people, even in extreme circumstances, so that proximity and time often changes the way we perceive people. Now, you have to be careful with this because this is one of the roots I see sometimes of affairs, especially at offices, because people are spending so much time with each other. They're getting emotionally connected in an intimate way, and the charm is really there, and it can move beyond just a healthy emotional attachment into something more difficult. But this is a good strategy for how we deal with people who aren't like us. The more we get to deal, you know them, mm-hmm. spend time with them, we will grow in our like towards them.
Mm-hmm. You made me think of an example where I worked one time, and I had there was a person in the office next to me who seemed cold and said nothing ever. And so I just thought, okay, we can fix this. So I found out that he was from another country. I learned how to say good morning in his language, and I walked by one day and I said it, and he was like, ah!
That's great.
We just have to build relationships in small ways, no matter how. And then outside of that, when we reflect Jesus, we're going to show love, we're going to show care, and I think that'll be somewhat charming.
Well, he was charming.
Of course.
Think of all the people we could have thought about, Jesus was probably the most charming, and he passes the servant test. When you go out to eat with someone and you're nice to them, but then rude to the server, they're just not charming.
Mm.
You know, so
good point.
Jesus was nice to people constantly, no matter what they were doing to him. He treated them the same way. He showed kindness. He showed respect. And people noticed, and they were drawn to him because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this really lines up with Scripture. Charming people just don't talk the talk. They back up their words with action. If they're going to do something, they follow through. And as we mentioned, let's look at the most incredibly charming person ever. He was the Son of God, and the way he interacted with people included most of the things that we're talking about today. He made eye contact. He was genuine. He was interested. He served. He was a man of his word. So as we imitate Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit will draw people to us. The bottom line is that our true charm is being a child of God and having his Spirit in us, and that makes us charming to others. Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to my co-host, Norm Mintel, who makes this show a conversation, and to our technical producer, Katie Sims Wilson, the now married Katie. From all of us here at Faith Radio, hey, we'll talk to you again next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Doing life together.
Hey, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These conversations are available because of your support. Become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes and share it with friends so we can live life to the fullest, walk confidently, and find healing and hope.